Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A neighbor across the street describing seeing students evacuating Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin on Monday. John DeLeon also says he saw police responding.
I saw some officers with long guns headed into the school.
Police say a 15-year-old girl opened fire during study hall, killing one student and one teacher and leaving six other people wounded. National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby trying to assure the public that the drones so many people say they've seen recently in the Northeast are not a national security threat.
These drones, these aircraft people are seeing, are a mix of law enforcement drones, commercial drones, and hobbyists. We continue to see nothing that indicates a public safety risk.
He says the drones are being seen because it's getting darker earlier. Senior Russian general killed this morning by a bomb hidden in a scooter outside his apartment building in Moscow. A Ukrainian official says Ukraine's security service was responsible. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Winnebago County Sheriff's officials say a vehicle and a body were recovered from Little Lake Butamore last night. Officials were called to the 9th Street boat ramp in Menasha at around 3 p.m. yesterday for a car in the water. The Nina Menasha Fire Department, Winnebago County Dive Team, and other agencies helped recover the vehicle and the body. The victim has not been identified. Officials are working to ensure schools are safe going forward after the tragedy in Madison yesterday. Trish Kilpin, director of the Wisconsin Office of School Safety, says they've gotten more tips about school threats since the Madison shooting.
It is true that in light of school shootings, we also see an uptick, a contagion effect of other school threats. We have seen an increase in planned school attack tips. Often after an incident such as that happened here in Madison, people start to think about, I should have reported this, I have knowledge that someone could be planning a school attack, and they need to have a place to report that.
Yesterday in Green Bay, there were threats against two high schools that were eventually deemed not credible. The Speak Up, Speak Out tip line has gotten more than 300 tips since its inception. You can submit a tip online or call their hotline. Officials say never brush off a potential threat.
58-year-old Ricky Denson of Appleton was sentenced to 20 years in prison and 10 years extended supervision Monday for stabbing a woman in August of 2023. Denson was convicted of attempted first-degree intentional homicide, intimidating a victim, false imprisonment, strangulation, and bail jumping. According to the criminal complaint, Denson stabbed the woman with a broken smoking pipe after drinking at an Appleton park all day.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Thunder in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup Championship. Doc Rivers asked about the Thunder, one of the youngest teams in the league, featuring Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, against the Bucks, now one of the oldest.
They're good. I enjoy watching them play. Shea's one of my favorite players. I actually got to coach him in his rookie year. But and I joke about it. And all these young teams are flying around, and we're going to come in with our little canes and wheelchairs and play them.
College hoops, the Badgers' next game coming up Sunday when they host Detroit Mercy. Wisconsin dropped out of the AP top 25 rankings after losing three straight last week, but beat Butler over the weekend.
Much happier locker room than we've had the last three games, and I think these guys really have earned it. And obviously, when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity, and how you respond to that and how you use those experiences to grow, I think, tells us a lot about the character of the young men in our locker room, and I couldn't be happier for them.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Breezy this morning, but the wind will die down this afternoon. Generally mostly cloudy here through the day with a high near 35. Tonight, some light snow showers, 26. Tomorrow, clearing, 32, with snow on the way late Wednesday night through much of Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Terry Barr from Civic Media. She is the genie of just about everything will be joining us. We'll talk to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County about their latest adoption event. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. So if you're just joining us, the last hour, we spent time talking about the shooting at the Abundant Life, you know, Christian school in Madison. And, you know, I made some things clear. And before I get into the Elton John issue, and I just want to add something. I live in a community where killings from guns is just unbelievable. The sheer numbers of young people and innocent people who are killed by guns that 12 and 13-year-old children get their hands on. It is easier for children in central cities across this nation to get their hands on automatic weapons than there are for them to eat food. And the numbers are outlandish. And no outrage about that. Very seldom, if ever. If you look at the numbers, they're astounding. How does a 12-year-old boy get his hands on automatic weapons? You know, gun show loopholes, which are ridiculous to me. Just listen to the term, gun show loophole. Why the hell is there a loophole? You know it's not right. That's why you call it a loophole. And you can't fix that. So what is a gun show loophole? So I can go to a gun show, and I'm a guy who owns guns, and I can walk into a gun show, and nobody knows who I am, and I can sell my guns to people who are in the gun show. They don't have to check my background. They don't know whether I'm a criminal or not. They have no idea. They don't know if I'm a felon. You know how I know? Because I went to a gun show to see for myself. And I remember the licensed gun dealers telling me that I had to have a background check and a 24-hour, 48-hour waiting period. That was with licensed gun dealers. But the average everyday Joe who was there with his guns came up to me and said, "Are you a felon?" This is facts. I said, "No, I'm not a felon." He says, "Well, why would you want to buy a gun from a licensed dealer when I can sell it to you right now and you don't have to wait?" That's the gun show loophole. That's not a loophole. That's knowingly allowing somebody who's unlicensed to sell guns to anybody. How does that make any sense? All right, quickly, Tom from L.A.
Good morning, Earl. You know, it's, again, it's money in politics.
Okay, so we know there's money in politics, Tom. Okay, how do you fix it? Okay, the guns and the gun show loopholes and the gun lobbies and all of that. When is that going to stop?
The American people are going to have to stand up one way or another and get rid of money in politics. I mean, you keep saying it's an impossibility.
Well, Tom, I say it's an impossibility. I'm 70 years old. I think I know a little bit about the American people. I've lived long enough to understand. You know, I don't live in a pie-in-the-sky reality. The money in politics is there. Nobody's going to wave a magic wand and it's going to go away.
There in the 20s and 30s as well, and we actually got it out of politics for quite some time when we actually raised the taxes on the millionaire class at that time, which would be the billionaire class this time. So, you know, the thing is, there was a way, apparently, that we got rid of it before.
Okay.
So if I'm just someone that's going to say, "Oh, it's just not going to happen," then okay, then I guess it's never going to happen. I'm a person that believes in solutions.
Hey, John, let me just be straight up with you, man. You're not the only person who believes in solutions, right? You're not. And so because I don't buy into, you know, the constant harping of, you know, money in politics as the solution to all the issues that we're dealing with, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Tell me what the solution then is, Earl, because what happens is if you have a person that's running for office, the only way they get into office, 94% of every election that's won is won by the person that spends the most money.
Hey, Tom, I know about the way the system works, my friend. You don't have to educate me on it. Go ahead.
I know that. I'm just having a conversation. So what I'm saying to you, though, is that if you have a person that's in Congress and they run in favor of gun safety, I don't call it gun control. I call it gun safety because I think that's where Democrats make a big mistake. I am a pro-life person.
Okay.
I believe in kids not getting shot in schools. But my point is that what happens is then they come back to their district and they have 10,000 ads on the TV that tell them that, hey, this person is against guns.
Hey, Tom, didn't I just say 60% of the American people don't own guns? So if the answer is money in politics, but yet 60% of the American people don't own guns, that means 60% of the American people aren't supporting those who, who believe in that.
And you know how it is that the silent minority sure makes a ruckus. Look what they did on January 6th. I mean, they're the ones that made the ruckus. They're the ones that get the microphone. They're the ones that get the social media. They're the ones that get the attention.
Hey, Tom, you know, I'm just, you know, again, but money in politics, we know it exists. Okay? And you seem to think differently than I do, that somehow they're going to wave a magic wand and that's going to disappear. I don't. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Rita from La Crosse. Good morning to you, Rita. You say what?
I say these people have guns. They have to have them insured because you think the insurance companies are going to want to pay out for all these shootings and stuff? No, they aren't. They don't even like to pay out for just regular health. So I suggest have to be insured. And also, parents have to be responsible for their children getting guns.
You know, I agree that parents certainly should be responsible. I mean, that young girl who got her hands on what I think is pretty sure her father's gun, he's got to be responsible for that. You know, the fact that she could get her hands on the gun to just take into the schools, you know, it doesn't bring anybody back. But yeah, he certainly didn't do his due diligence. And I don't wish that on anybody. Thank you very much for the call. Brendan, quickly.
Well, I just wanted to kind of comment on the topic you're going on to next with the Elton John.
Okay,
topic.
Well, hang on. Let me get into it. Okay, so here's the deal. So Elton John criticized the legalization of marijuana, saying it's addictive and impairs cognitive thinking. I maintain that it's addictive. It leads to other drugs, John. John, who was named Icon of the Year by Time magazine, told the outlet. And when you're stoned, and I've been stoned, you don't think normally. Legalizing marijuana in America and Canada is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. John, 77, looked back on his experiences with drugs, saying that cocaine was his drug of choice after being introduced to the narcotic by former manager and lover John Reed. Following the death of his friend Ryan White, who contracted AIDS from a blood transfusion, John checked into Chicago's Parkside Lutheran Hospital in July 29, 1990, and has remained sober ever since. I'm a guy who used to smoke a lot of weed. I'm just, you know, I don't have anything to hide. I enjoyed my time smoking weed. I didn't smoke my first joint until I was 19 years old. So I was an adult legally by the time I smoked my first joint. I smoked weed for 20 years. You may not believe it. I told you I didn't fall down out of heaven, Calvin. So yeah, I used to enjoy smoking weed, but I was a grown man. There are children. And the quality of the weed that I was smoking, that we were smoking back then, based on what I hear from people from my generation who are still smoking weed, was nothing compared to the strains of the weed that they have now. And I told you, I spent 12 years in the school system. And children would come to school high. 14 years old, 13 years old. You could smell it. In no position to learn. There's no way an educator can get through to a child who's stoned at 8 o'clock in the morning. And weed is so pervasive in the society now that I kind of find myself agreeing with Elton John. 855-752-4842. We're going to delve even deeper because it really is time that we have the conversation, and we're going to have it this morning on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop holding my pants up because they would literally go down. And twice people stopped me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, I'm talking about an article that Elton John wrote last week, and it's appeared in almost every periodical. And it is the fact that Elton John, the Time Icon of the Year, has said that one of the biggest mistakes of all time is the legalization of marijuana. And he says it's one of the greatest mistakes of all time. And I am saying to you that as a guy who smoked weed for 20 years, and, you know, I didn't, the potency of the weed that was around when I was smoking weed pales in comparison from everything that I hear from people who are still smoking weed, and especially the government's, the quality of the weed that the government sells. Now, I understand, you know, Tom always says it's about money. It is about money. The reason that the government got in the weed business, it's because the amount of money that they make. But the damage that is being done. You know, Elton John talked about, you know, when I started smoking weed, you know, I remember the first time I smoked a joint. My friend said, it's not addictive. Hey, Calvin, he told me it's not addictive. but 20 years later, I was still smoking weed. Now, people say, well, it's not addictive. Well, I don't know. You know, if alcohol is addictive, if cigarettes are addictive, then marijuana is addictive. Anything that alters your mood is addictive. And so that constant harping about it not being addictive is just not true. And so legalizing it, certainly putting more on the market, they say, well, it'll end the black market, it'll end all the crime. It did not. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to push back on you now because now you're just becoming a knee-jerk reactive American who, you know, nobody has to be responsible for anything. Let's take everything out of anybody's hands that might help them in some way. And I was raised by two alcoholics. I'm not a drinker. I don't drink, okay? But I do enjoy a little gummy on the weekend at a responsible time when I'm not leaving my house. But the medicinal purposes of marijuana and the other things that marijuana does, look, yeah, the government took a hold of it because they realized there was a fortune to be made in taxes on marijuana. But we got to stop going to this place. The two conversations you've had so far today are parallel. A young girl comes to school with a gun. The kids that you saw in school, you could smell the marijuana on them. It always makes it down to kids when adults aren't responsible, okay? And the idea is, and I know here in the state I live in, when you go into a dispensary, they check your ID, then they send a shopper with you. It's not like a liquor store where you can just go in and just pick out what you want, go to the counter, and if you have something that looks like the state ID, they'll sell it to you, and if you look old enough. The other thing I would ask you is when you're talking about addictive drugs like cocaine, when's the last time you saw somebody scratching their arm at an ATM at 2 a.m. in the morning because they needed another joint? I don't think that happens, okay? And, yeah, anything you
let me say this to you, Brendan. Okay, I told you I smoked weed for 20 years, okay? So I'm not talking about something I don't know. So was I addicted to marijuana? I smoked it for 20 years. So I would say, yes, I can talk about me, okay, because I no longer smoke weed. I chose not to. So was I addicted to weed for 20 years? If I smoked it for 20 years, for me, yes, I was, because I did it every day. Now, you may have been strong enough to not be addicted to it, and others may have been strong enough not to be addicted to it. I'm telling you about me and what I did and what others that I knew did. So let's stop acting like it's not addictive. It is. Go ahead.
Anything's
that's my point, man.
I mean, if you have Tourette's, so, you know, what I'm trying to say is okay, that was your journey. I get it. Okay, fine. But America cannot become this knee-jerk reaction place where Elton John, who was a serious coke head for many years, I get it. He stays away from it now. He needs to stay clean. Okay? I can pass by a full bar and not ask anybody for a drink. I can walk by somebody smoking pot and not ask for a hit. Okay? We need to take responsibility for ourselves.
So let me say this to you, Brendan. Let me say this to you. You know, for those who are strong enough, like Brendan, who can get beyond it, bully for you. Congratulations. But there are far too many people who are not, right? And who don't have the intestinal fortitude that Brendan has, you know? And when kids get a hold to it, it's not a good thing. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're going to continue the conversation. Your thoughts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air. local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. As schools continue navigating staffing challenges, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction announced Monday that it has been awarded a $10.5 million federal grant to support the recruitment and retention of special education teachers and leaders across the state. The U.S. Department of Education awarded the five-year grant as part of its State Personal Development Grant Program. The funding will improve professional development systems for educators and help districts implement innovative strategies to address critical staffing shortages in special education. According to the DPI data, 49.4% of Wisconsin's new special education teachers either leave the state or the profession altogether by their sixth year. Shopping for gifts this holiday season? There are many factors to consider when searching for the perfect present, especially when the recipient is a child. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection encourages shoppers to keep safety in mind while searching for the best holiday deals. When buying for a young child, either in person or online, always check for potential hazards. Look on the packaging or for information posted online about product warnings and age grading. Don't rely on the labeling alone. Examine those products before purchasing to identify any potential unlabeled hazards, such as projectiles, small batteries, and the risk of breaking or splintering. Toys can sometimes present unexpected danger. Even if your gift will be given to an older child, ask yourself whether a younger child who also lives in the household might have access to it. Lastly, consider including safety gear with your gift, like a helmet with a bike or a scooter. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Moana 2 remained king of the box office last weekend. In its third weekend of release, the film pulled in over $26 million, putting it in first place yet again. Moana 2 and Wicked have a nice little competition going. Even though Moana 2 broke records, it might not catch Wicked when it comes to the total take. Wicked has pulled in $359 million domestically, and Moana 2 is at $337 million. They are neck and neck, which might be too much of a deficit for Moana 2 to overcome when it comes to the holiday season box office champ. Wicked remains strong at the gate, also finishing in second place last week with $22.5 million. Action-adventure film Kraven the Hunter, starring Russell Crowe and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, is a box office dud, finishing with a disappointing $11 million in its first week of release. Gladiator 2 held strong in fourth place with $7.5 million, and the new animated Lord of the Rings film finished in fifth place with a disappointing total of less than $5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Breezy this morning, but the wind will die down this afternoon. Generally mostly cloudy here through the day with a high near 35. Tonight, some light snow showers, 26. Tomorrow, clearing, 32, with snow on the way late Wednesday night through much of Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nationally syndicated Tribune Media columnist and comedian Greg Schwemm. And marketing director of the Marinette Community Rec Center, Sean Katzbach, joins the show to talk about the STEAM concert.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let me, you know, I'm talking about an article that Elton John, put out in 2 weeks ago. That's everywhere now. And he talks about that he believes it's a mistake for our nation to legalize marijuana. And as I thought about it, I hadn't given a second thought. And again, you're talking about a reform guy who did that for 20 years, and I'm not ashamed. You know, when I was smoking weed, I enjoyed it. And, and so anybody who's still doing that, that's fine. They have every right to do that. I've chosen, to not do it. That doesn't make me exalt me above anybody else. And I don't want anybody to misconstrue it. I just think that, and, Brendan clearly stated that, there are people who are strong enough themselves, to not allow it to control them. But there's a lot more people who don't fall in that category. And it is addictive. And probably more so now than it was when I was smoking. I remember when I was smoking weed, Calvin, I would take a newspaper and I would try to read the newspaper. And I'd read a paragraph or read a couple sentences and could not comprehend what the couple sentences were that I read. That may be the same with alcohol. I don't know. Alcohol was never my drug of choice. So I was never a guy who drank a lot. I was a guy who chose pot. But, once I tried to read a paragraph, I'd have to read the same paragraph four or five times to even try to get some understanding. Weed is a mood-altering substance, like alcohol and barbiturates, and all the other drugs that people take. And, the easy accessibility to it. Let me be clear. My perspective on this always comes from the perspective of what's in the best interest of young people. And so, Brendan, I will say that if adults want to do that, fine, right? Never right to do that. But my thing is always young people have gotten access to things that are altering their makeup at far too young of ages. And it's just horrible, man, to see the impact of what has happened and continues to happen. And You know, alcohol is no better. Let me just clearly state that. Alcohol is no better. As a matter of fact, it's probably even worse because of the damage it does to, you know, your organs. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Susan, go ahead.
What I would like you to do is I would like to hear from the medical society, because I know that they have done research on both alcohol and marijuana use, especially with women who are pregnant, and how it affects the children that are born, and also the development of the brain. Do people realize your frontal lobe, which has your common sense, has your empathy and your concern, those things do not fully develop until you're 18 years old. So when we have children smoking marijuana or have access to anything of that nature, it affects their brain development. And we wonder why. I know that someone had said that vaccines called ADHD. What effect does alcohol and marijuana have on ADHD? Why are we experiencing so many children who are born with ADHD? Those are the things that I would like to see. And I would like that the medical society, doctors, nurses, who actually work in this genre, come on and speak about what they see. I think people will be surprised.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. You know, just the fact that, here, according to Tony, I've done some work for recovery places in the past, and they would say alcohol was the most dangerous because it's so socially acceptable and accessible. There's no question, man. I will say that alcohol is accepted in the society, always has been, and encouraged for people, you know, to get drunk or to get high. You know, you can't go to a football game or a baseball game and go to tailgating and not see where people are encouraged to get, you know, blasted before they even go to a game. You know, before you go to the Packer game, people are out in the parking lot. They get drunk before they go into the park, before they go into the game, because it costs too much to buy the liquor inside of the stadium. So people get drunk outside of the stadium. That's all acceptable. And then the very same people get in cars and drive while drunk. Because as a society, alcohol is accepted. I get that. You know, alcohol was just never one of the things that I enjoyed doing. And even to this day, just was not my choice. I just know that there's something that is... The American people don't need more time to get high. What we need is more time to have lucid thought and open-mindedness about some things that are going on in the society that has definitely made victims of all of us. You know, we need clear minds to address things that are happening to us. And again, I'm not opposed to anybody having a joint. I'm not. And I understand the rationale and the reasons why. You know, and does this make Elton John a villain? Because Elton John said that? Well, you know, I'm looking at some of the responses about, you know, what kind of person Elton John is and all those kinds of things. Whatever he is or was, thank God he straightened his life out. You know, I'm not in a position to, you know, criticize anybody. I'm not. Nor is any of us. Because all of us, you know, have kind of fallen short. His opinion on what and the reason that he was trying to reach out was all predicated, from my perspective, on trying to help people, not to try to tear people down. And so anybody who's in the business of trying to help people, I'm with. I support that 100%. People are trying to tear other people down. I'm definitely opposed to that. It's the reason that I brought this article up. And I think, you know, those are the kind of things we need to have more conversations on, and how we keep it out of the hands of children. As I said, I was 18 years old before I did it. You know, not 12 or 13. That's what we are seeing now. And there's got to be a way, you know, to fix that. 855-752-4842. Yeah, I'm going to, as we enter into the last segment of the program, I'm going to talk about the pilot trickster of the day. Let's go to Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl. I have a bone to pick with you and others at Civic Media. Since my wife, Judy, discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media and all the rest. And you are one of the ringleaders. You young whippersnapper. We go out cutting firewood, and usually around 8 o'clock, and I cut the wood, and my wife has to put it in the truck, and she has it in her hood listening to you. And so anyway, I just want to thank you and the rest of you at Civic Media, and hope we have a good day and lighten up a little bit on some of the callers like Tom. Anyway, have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege, number one, to have anybody take the time out, you know, to listen to me. I'm a guy. I'm a blue-collar guy, man. You know, that's who I am. At my heart is a guy who, for 34 years, worked in industry. That's what I did. I'm not a highbrow guy, man. I'm not. Never have been, never will be. I'm a blue-collar guy. So, you know, like many people, you know, used to think a blue-collar guy puts on a brown sock and a blue sock, you know, because he doesn't know any better. You know, that's who I am, man. I get my beliefs and all of it from being a working-class person, man. I grew up in that environment. I'm still that person. I'm going to always be that person. I don't know about the finer things in life. I've never had them, and I won't have them by the time, you know, my number is called. But what I do know is, you know, what's important to the average person, because I'm the average person. 855-752-4842. Up next, the pilot trickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show.
Santa came down the chimney, half past three, y'all. Left all in my good old present for my baby and for me. Merry Christmas, baby. Should it treat me nice? Bought all those good old presents. I love you, baby. They're just for my life.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Following up our report on states which have passed a Voting Rights Act comes an authorization to collect signatures for the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights, protecting voters from suppression tactics and implementing reforms like automatic voter registration. The state of Ohio tried to reject it. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost twice objected to the title of the measure, tactically delaying the measure beginning in early 2024 so it couldn't make the November ballot. October 30th, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that the AG did not have the authority to reject it on the basis of its title. Then in mid-November, the Ohio Ballot Board, headed by Secretary of State Frank LaRose, approved the measure to collect signatures. If passed, the constitutional measure, similar to Michigan's 2022 initiative, would enshrine Ohio voters' right to vote early in person, by mail, or on election day, and to do so without intimidation or harassment. It allows voter registration online, at the DMV, and on election day. It gives municipalities flexibility to expand polling locations and use drop boxes, and directs that state government and the courts should defer to supporting voters' rights. Given the state's derailment of November's citizen-led redistricting commission, expect more state-sponsored shenanigans before voters weigh in. We have the full text of the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
All right, and welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. And as promised, the politrickster of the day, Representative-elect Brandon Gill, a Republican in Texas, who said the nation needs a lot more Daniel Pennies, calling the Marine veteran who was found not guilty of homicide in the New York City subway trial. And he was called and called him a patriot. I don't know about you all, but I think we need a lot more Daniel Pennies in the country because we have far too many Jordan Neelys, Gill said at the New York Young Republicans Club event Sunday evening. Well, Jordan Neely was a disabled young man who clearly had some demons. And, homeless, and certainly, was facing some demons in his life. But I don't think taking his life makes you a hero. I don't think Here's a guy who didn't have a weapon and whose life was taken by, Daniel Penny. And he's moving around the Republican circles now like he's a hero. He reminds me of a guy in Kenosha named Kyle Rittenhouse, who killed a couple innocent men. Kyle Rittenhouse, who became a hero, Republican hero. And even to this day, he wound up wealthy and was looked at as a hero for killing innocent people. So I want to say to you, Representative Brandon Gill, I don't know what rot you crawled out from under. But on the side that I come from, when you murder somebody, because of threats that they make and they don't have any weapons, and you get to walk away. And Brendan is right. Bernie Getz was another one, subway killer. You're not a hero. And if you can't discern the difference, Representative Brandon Gill from Texas, that's the reason why you are the politrickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show. We've got to get back to a time, if we ever can, where common sense comes into play and right is right and wrong is wrong, and there's a dividing line between the two. But we're at a point in this society where there is no dividing line. When you put somebody in a chokehold and you feel their body go limp and you're still applying pressure and people tell you to stop and you keep doing it anyway and you take the person's life and you get to walk away and people say, well, that was just a bad guy, Jordan Neely was a bad guy, and there's one less bad guy, and you get canonized as some big hero, then something is wrong. And when politricksters like Brandon Gill, who's new to the game, but he's not so new to the game that he doesn't understand that he can make statements like he made, and there'll be people who cheer him on. But on the Earl Ingram Show, we're not looking for that. Well, I am. I'm looking for guys like him because we're going to make sure that people get to know, him as the politrickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, everybody, who made the show go. Really appreciate it. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Madnair. Madnair on air. See you guys tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen in the guest host chair. And if I make it back in time, I'll join you live as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets. There's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy, and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Madison, Wisconsin, still looking for a motive in the school shooting that left a student and teacher dead. Investigators say a 15-year-old girl was responsible. She later took her own life. In New York, alleged serial killer Rex Heuermann is being charged with a seventh murder. A woman whose remains were found in two separate locations on Long Island 24 years ago, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Valerie Mack was identified through DNA. Prosecutors were able to finally identify her. Heuermann was named a suspect in her death back in June. Now they've been able to formally connect him, they say.
Like the other women, Heuermann is accused of killing Valerie Mack, was a sex worker. Heuermann remains behind bars. Negotiators say Israel and Hamas are inching toward a ceasefire deal. Egypt and Qatar have resumed their mediation efforts. Jill Biden has closed the book on her teaching career. She says she taught her final class at Northern Virginia Community College last week. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with W.